Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Whew, it is good to be here, and I'm glad that you're here as we're continuing our series called What If. I've shared with us a few times that our family got a puppy, a chocolate lab puppy, and we decided because he's a chocolate lab that we should name him Chip, okay? So chocolate Chip, chocolate lab, and he's a pretty good puppy, but we realize now that maybe we named him Chip because when he goes outside, he eats the wood chips out of the flower beds and then redeposits them in the yard in whole form about 3 hours later, if you're catching my drift. So maybe that's why he's named Chip. But Chip is a good puppy, but all puppies need training, don't they, right? You have to discipline them. You have to train them. And so one of the things that we're doing with Chip is teaching him to follow the command, wait, okay? And he does okay with this command. As a matter of fact, we use it most specifically during feeding time. And I got a little video here. We make Chip wait for his food. And look at the eyes of that dog, like, please, please, come on. The agony is just on his face. And then finally we say, okay, you can go, and he eats, right? And it's real exciting. You're like, wow, puppy eating, that's nothing better than that, right? But here's what I know about Chip. Chip hates to wait. And Chip and I are a little bit alike in that because I hate to wait. Anybody out there love to wait? Raise your hand if you love to wait. Yeah, I didn't think so. Nobody likes to wait. We all hate to wait. And today we're going to talk about patience and what to do when we have to wait. And so open up your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans chapter 8. We're going to be in verses 18 through 25 today. We're going to ask the question, what do we do while we wait? And what if it takes time to get what it is that we really want in life and to get where God wants us to go in life? And maybe more importantly, we're going to find out how God can use patience to help us out in life, okay? Patience is never something we like to talk about because we really all do hate to wait. You don't think so? Go home this morning or this afternoon, make a phone call to some customer service number and get put on hold, right? You hate to wait. You wait in line for 2 hours at Cedar Point to get 2 minutes of a thrill ride, and the whole time you're complaining because you hate to wait. You get in line at Starbucks in the drive-thru, right? And it's all the way around the building. And you know your first reaction when you pull in, you're like, oh, right? And then it takes, you know, a whole minute and a half longer than you think it should, right? And you're mad and you're frustrated. Why? Because you hate to wait. We don't like delays in our flights. We don't like detours on our drives because we absolutely hate to wait. We talk about waiting for 3 minutes like it's an eternity, like it was just forever, right? 3 minutes compared to forever. It doesn't actually work like that. Let me give you an example of hating to wait. Like, how many of you have never seen one of these? Young students, maybe a few of you have never seen it. This is an ice cube tray, right? Before, these fancy refrigerators used to make the ice. Now they make the ice for us and everything. You used to have to use this ice tray, and you would put water in it, and then you'd put it in the freezer, and then you had to wait for your ice to come out, right? And then you'd, you know, shake it out, and you get all that, right? It's one of those unfathomable to us now, right? Because we don't like to wait. We live in a culture of convenience, and we want it now. Let me give you another example. Let's say perhaps you like apples, okay? And so I'm going to give you an opportunity with apples. I'm going to ask you a question. Would you rather have one apple today? Would you rather have one apple in a year after 1 year, and I'm going to give it to you that day, or would you rather have two apples in a year and a day? So I'm going to give you an apple if you wait a year, but if you wait a year and a day, I'll give you a second apple. There was a researcher named Richard Thaler that actually asked this question and did research. And most everybody that he asked would wait the extra day for the extra apple, right? I'll wait a whole year for one. I might as well wait a whole year and a day for two. But then he switched up the question. He said, would you rather have one apple today or two apples tomorrow? And surprisingly, all the people that were willing to wait a year for one apple and a year and a day for a second apple would not wait 2 days for two apples. And it kind of blew his mind, like, what in the world is going on? And so he did all this research. He did all this mathematical equations to try to figure out our illogical tendencies. And here's what he discovered. We are more impatient with shorter time frames. That's why our red light feels like forever. That's like why when we're on hold, it seems like an eternity. But the bottom line is, we absolutely hate to wait. We want success, we want fame. We want peace. We want security. We want happiness. And we want it now. We don't want later. We want now. We want without waiting. And sometimes that's in direct opposition to reality, isn't it? Because life doesn't happen like that. You have to wait. But here's my question this morning. What if waiting is good? What if God could use the pause in our life for a purpose that's greater? What if the pause prepares us for greater possibilities around the corner? What if God wanted to use waiting in your life? I've told you a few times about our trip from the West Coast a few weeks ago and how we spent an entire day in one airport and how frustrating that was. And I'm going to be the first to admit that I was not a happy camper during that experience, and I was crabby during that experience because, listen, I hate to wait. But what if I told you that something awesome happened because we had to wait? What if I told you that it was better than ticket vouchers for another flight? What if I told you something unbelievable happened because we had to wait? Well, if you hang in with me at the end, I'll tell you what happened. So let's keep you kind of tuned in, right? In Romans chapter 8, Paul, in these two paragraphs that we're focusing in on this morning, he kind of gives us a picture of waiting. And I want to read for you Romans 8, starting in verse 18 all the way to 25. So follow along if you will. Paul says this, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." He says in verse 19, "For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration." You ever feel that? "Not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies." Look at verse 24. "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is not seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have?" And then our anchor verse, verse 25. "But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." Patiently. Paul takes our lives and he puts it into a context. He says, listen, what you face today fits into the timeline of forever. And there is going to be a time when everything that is wrong is made right, and when all of the hurts are healed, and when all of the things that are holding you back and keeping you down, you're freed from. As a follower of Christ, there's going to be a time where that happens. But until then, you're going to have to wait. But what makes waiting worth it is that there is going to be that day. And here's pretty much what Paul's getting at in these two paragraphs. He says, listen, the best is yet to come. The experience that you're having on this planet, the struggles and frustrations that you're having in life, this isn't it. There's more around the corner. At the end, it's better. The best is yet to come. Even if you're experiencing good things, if life is going well for you, you feel like, man, it couldn't be going any better. Still, the best is yet to come in the future. And knowing that the best is yet to come kind of helps us while we wait. When we're waiting for certain things to end or some things to begin. Three times Paul tells us to wait. And he gives us descriptions of how to wait. Look in verse 19, he says expectantly. In verse 23, he says eagerly. In verse 25, he says patiently. And I believe those words kind of unlock for us what to do while we wait. He says that we can have hope in the future that will help us wait patiently in the present. It's an opportunity that he has for us. In verse 24, Paul says that we build our patience on hope. Hope. That's a difference maker, hope. Do you have hope? If you think you have hope, who or what are you putting your hope in? A hope, it's not some sort of like fairy tale or wish or dream. It's something that's more concrete than that. It's the reality. It's a confidence that you can have. Let me give you a picture of hope. It would be the last day of school. Do we have any students that are excited that the last day of school is just around the corner a couple months away? Right? Yeah, they're pumped, right? If you can remember as an adult, think back to the last day of school. When you walk into that place, there is some hope filling the hallways. There is like anticipation in the air. It's thick. You're excited because you know when the bell rings for the last class and the day is over, you have freedom from that place that's absolutely irrevocable, right? It's exciting, and you can just kind of just sense the summer is right there. That could be hope. Paul said, hey, there's something better than today around the corner. It's called eternity. And if you are a follower of Christ, you can be confident when the final bell of life rings that you will spend forever with him in heaven, and no one can take it away. You talk about some excitement, some anticipation. Even though it is frustrating to have to wait, that allows us to wait with excitement and eagerness and to wait patiently. We can be confident in what we hope for and assured of what we do not see, says the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, verse 1. We can be confident of that because we have a relationship with God. Are you confident? Do you have hope that when the final bell on your life rings, you know where you're going to spend forever? Do you know for sure that God's love is for you? You can today. You can by admitting to God that you know that he loves you and he created you, but you would admit to him that you know that you've sinned, you've blown it, you've fallen short. You're in good company. Everybody in this room has. Everybody in this church has. Everybody in the world has. And that's a problem because you can't behave your way out of that problem. You can't beg your way out of that problem. You can't buy your way out of that problem. You need help. And that's why God sent his son Jesus. And his death on the cross is a sacrifice for us so we wouldn't have to pay that. And we could be forgiven. And if we would put all of our trust and all of our hope and all of our weight in life on Jesus, the scripture says that we're saved. We stop going our way and we start going his way based upon what he did on the cross. And that 3 days later, after they buried him, the stone rolled away and a dead man walked out alive. That man wants to have a relationship with you and he loves you. And when you begin a relationship with him, you can be confident. You can be sure that when the final bell of life rings, you will spend forever with him in a place called heaven. But until then, you got to wait. And I don't know what you're waiting on. You walked in, everybody's in a different place. Maybe you're waiting on something to happen in your life. Maybe you want to be married and you see all of your peers are married and it's kind of frustrating to you and you're waiting. Or maybe you're married and you're struggling with infertility and you want to have a baby and there's just agony involved with that and you're waiting and it's frustrating. Or maybe you're waiting on a promotion or a raise or just recognition that you're contributing at your workplace. Or maybe you're waiting on someone to come home who's gone and the time in between is just hard and it hurts and you're waiting and you're frustrated. We all hate to wait. We get that. But is there hope? Is there anticipation in the air? Because you truly believe that the best is yet to come. It drives me crazy when those people who claim the name of Jesus struggle with waiting. And I get it because I struggle with it too. But it kind of makes us, you know, crazy where we get compelled to be critical or we're drawn to negativity and then we flip it around and say it's spirituality. No, what it is this lack of patience and it's lack of belief that the best is yet to come. Listen, if you're waiting today, I got a word for you. Here it is. Your present frustration will end. It will. Your promised future will never end. It'll never end. Heaven is forever. Eternity doesn't stop. Whatever you're waiting for and the time in between and the frustration that it is will end. And so what do you do with the pause between where you are and where you want to be? What if God could use this pause to prepare you? What if this pause, this waiting period, this patience time serves a purpose? How do you wait? What do you do while you wait? I think if you draw out Paul's words here, eagerly, patiently, and expectantly, you'll discover what we can do while we wait. And I want you to write these down. Three actionable steps that we can kind of put into our lives even today. Number one is to develop our faith. While you wait, one of the greatest things you can do is develop your faith. It's exhausting when you don't know where to go. When you're looking for direction, it can be overwhelming. When you're trying to find answers to questions you have, it's exhausting. Maybe you've been waiting a week or a month or a year or decades, and you're tired of waiting. The time in between from where you are and where you want to be is a perfect time to develop the disciplines. And sometimes the time in between can cause us to be bitter. What if the time in between causes us to be better? What if we worked on fulfilling that time in between, that pause in our life? What if we filled that with more of God? How do you fill it with more of God? Well, you put the Word of God into your life. Waiting is an emotionally intense experience, and it kind of just evaporates the energy from us. But listen, God says there's a better way to live. There's a better guide to follow. And it comes from the Spirit of God who guides us, the Bible says, into all truth. And even though we feel a certain way while we have to wait, truth trumps our feelings. And the truth is found in God's Word. This book is truth. And see, every time the Word of God is opened, the voice of God is heard. And I think too many of us are trying to figure out the shortcut method to hearing the voice of God. We'll have everyone else tell us what God says. Open it up and read it. He's speaking to you, even while you wait. See, His Word is a stabilizing force when circumstances are shaky. Listen, while you wait, God's Word should be the first priority, and it should be the final authority in your life. People tell me all the time, well, you know, I know what God says I should do, but I'm not hearing from Him. It just was kind of like I'm having to wait. He said to wait, and I can't do that. And so I went out, and I did this, that, or the other thing, and it's wrong. And they're looking for kind of justification for that. No, while you wait, infuse the truth into your life. The Bible's filled with examples of people that had to wait. Take Joseph. A character in the Old Testament, for example. This guy had a big dream. He was going to be the leader of a nation. But instead, he got sold into slavery, and he was in prison for years. A woman accuses him of rape. One of his good friends forgets him when he has a chance to get him out. Things aren't going his way. And he had to wait a long time. But in every one of those circumstances, you can see God working in Joseph's life. And he's in that pause, preparing him for a greater possibility in his leadership later. See, God has been faithful in the past, and while we wait, we would do well to remember He's faithful now. We shouldn't be trying to run out in front of Him. We should be running in step with Him, and His timing is perfect. His timing's perfect. We should be developing our faith. Our faith is a relationship between God and us, and so when God is speaking, it's through His Word, but we also speak to God, and that's through prayer. It's communicating with God. It's just talking with Him about our circumstances. And it strikes me that when we have to wait, we tend to worry, don't we? We're like, then that's when we get into the what if series. Man, we think about all the what if negative possibilities and we start to worry. See, worry is when you rehearse all the negatives in your mind and you talk to yourself about them because you try to convince yourself that you're somehow God and you can do something about it. Scripture says, don't worry, pray. Pray is rehearsing all those in your mind and talking to God because He can do something about it. So while you wait, you can either worry or you can pray. And Paul told us in Philippians 4 that when we pray, the peace of God will guard our hearts. It'll protect us from all these false things that come at us, and it will guide our lives. It will give us the direction where to go. And while you wait, you should pray. It's up to you who you're going to talk to while you wait. You're going to talk to God or you're going to talk to yourself? I highly recommend talking to God. And so we develop this relationship with God where we're hearing the word of God in our life and we're talking with him. But listen, our faith isn't to be experienced on an individual level. It's to be experienced in the context of a community. We're called to develop our faith around people. People who can stand with us while we have to wait. People that are just as messed up as we are. Just as thankful for the grace of God, but they can point out how great God is to us. Well, sometimes it's hard for us to see it. At Grace, we call that a grace group. Connecting with people in a group. Now listen, I get this. Connecting in a group is hard. Because you got to make a commitment to it, and you're going to probably have to find childcare if you have kids, and you got to find people, and you don't want to be in a group with the weird people, right? You know, which you don't know as they think you are. But anyway, you know, it's hard work, and it takes commitment to it. It's not easy finding it, and you're going to probably have to admit to them while you're there that you hate to wait. But let me tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it because when you're developing your faith, and you're spending time in the Word, and you're talking with God, and people can help point you in the right direction, the reward is what Proverbs says, 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It's worth it, even though it's hard. So while we wait, we should develop our faith. A second actionable step is to deepen our character. It's to deepen our character. Our faith isn't supposed to be just developed so we have all the right things to say when life goes wrong. It's supposed to become actionable into our lives. And developing our faith is waiting eagerly, while deepening our character is waiting patiently. Developing the disciplines of exercising your faith in your life will change who you are on the inside. And I've seen this example a few times, but most recently I saw it from Dr. Henry Cloud at a conference I was at. He likened our character to an iceberg, okay? And so I'm going to do my best job of drawing an iceberg. You got the little water there. Yeah, woo, isn't that cute? An iceberg has 90% of it below the water surface. And too many times in life, we focus on the thing that's above the water surface. You know, this is what we do. We tend to focus on our skills and our abilities and our habits and all the things that we do. Hey, listen, I'm a coach, I'm a teacher, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm a mom, I'm a dad, I'm a pastor, I'm a friend. These are all these things that I do and all these skills that I have. And so while we wait, when there's a pause, we tend to go right here so we can focus on what we look like to other people. This is what we do and what they see. But 90% of our character is below the surface. And instead of what we do, it's who we are. Things like honor and honesty and humility and integrity, character. What if the pause was to prepare who we are? What if God wanted to use this to prepare who we are? You know, when we use the word character, the Bible uses it about 5 times. And it really means all of our experiences collectively together. More likely, when we use the English word character, it's what the Bible calls integrity. Integrity, it comes from the same idea of an integer in math, which is a whole number. I'll just cut to the chase for you so you don't have to remember that from math class, right? It's a whole number. It's all of who we are working together with what we do. We want to be the kind of a person that has all of who we are working with what we do. And when we see somebody who isn't who they say they are, we call them a hypocrite. And we get frustrated about it. And I understand it. It makes sense because when who we are doesn't match what we do, there's an inconsistency there. But we want to be whole and we want to be effective as a follower of Christ. Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 1. He explained this really well. Look at verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, goodness knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, perseverance godliness, godliness mutual affection love. He says you want to add to your faith. You want to develop your faith. And then he said this, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What Peter tells me here is that there's a possibility that I can be ineffective and unproductive with what I know about God. I can make it be all about what I do and what you see. And that's not being whole. He says, but whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind. Why? Because they've forgotten they've been cleansed from their past sins. When your life is changed and you've been forgiven by God, when you start to develop your faith, it isn't so your head can get really big. Listen, a faith that stays in the head makes us lazy. But a faith that moves to the heart makes us loving. What if in this pause, God was preparing you? I'm convinced that some of you are waiting right now because you need to deal with some of your baggage. You got stuff you haven't dealt with. And it needs to be cleaned out of your life. Paul said in verse 25 that we wait patiently. Patience is a virtue. It's a character trait. James told us not to be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Character is developed over time as we do what the scripture says. And so we don't just read the Bible to kind of finish and to cross it off of our to-do list and to look really good so that other people think it's amazing what we might know. No, we read the Bible to change so that what God's word says and his spirit does changes me to look more like Jesus. So who I am is closer to Jesus. That's the purpose. What if the waiting, what if the pause was so you could deepen your character? I think God would use that in unbelievable ways in your life. And Paul said to wait patiently. What if the pause was preparing you to deepen who you are rather than display what you do? Third actionable step. Not only should we develop our faith and deepen our character, but we should dare to dream. We should dare to dream. As people who have faith in Jesus, we should be some of the greatest dreamers of all time. Faith comes with it an aspect of risk because you're giving up your way and trusting God's way, right? We should dream, and we shouldn't just dream. We should dare to dream big. It's okay to want to dream for a job or a spouse or whatever title or opportunity you have, but that's not big enough. What if all of those dreams that you have in your life had the eternity of God written all over them? That those things that you dream for weren't for you, they were for him. What if you dared to dream that way? Paul said to the Ephesians, he said, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us. He said, listen, God can do more than you can imagine. We're the ones that put the limit on God. We're the ones that put him in a box. Listen, I'd rather have one God idea than 1,000 good ones. And I want to be a person that dares to dream that he could use me in a way that I can't even imagine. I don't want to set limits on him. One guy said it this way. If you have yet to accomplish something in your life that you couldn't have done without God, you have yet to accomplish anything. What if we dreamed big? I dare you to dream big. And your what-if dream might be more like a who-if dream. I'm going to give you a few names. Some of them you'll recognize. Some of them you might not. But I wonder what these names have in common. Billy Graham, famous evangelist for years, has led hundreds of thousands, if not millions, to Christ. Bill Bright, who, if you went to college, your college campus probably had something called Campus Crusade for Christ, or it's now called CRU. He's the founder of that. Jim Rayburn, maybe you don't know that name, but his impact still is happening here in Wayne County through a ministry called Young Life. Dawson Trotman, who started a college ministry called Navigators, and another guy, Richard Helvertson, who was a Senate chaplain. What do all those people have in common? All those people have in common is one woman who dared to dream. One woman who at 38 years of age made a big risk. She moved from Minneapolis, Minnesota to Hollywood, California. Her name is Henrietta Mears. And she became a Sunday school teacher of all of those people. She dreamed big. Now, she didn't do something where it affected millions of people for Christ. No, she affected a few people who affected millions of people for Christ. Maybe your influence won't be for the millions. Maybe it'll be for the one who will influence the millions. What if you dreamed big for God? Paul says in verse 19, to wait expectantly. When you expect something, you tell people about it. And when you're waiting expectantly, you can't keep it to yourself. You have to offer it to other people. And listen, if you're a follower of Christ, and you're expecting to spend forever with God in heaven, and you're keeping that to yourself, I'd say what? No way. We wait expectantly. And so because of that, we offer an invitation to people. Because we believe life change is an invitation away. And Easter is a great time to offer that invitation. Next weekend, we have the egg drop right here in our campus. Why? So we can have 100,000 eggs? No. So that we will give an opportunity for you to invite someone to church to have a positive experience with their family in hopes that they will return, that you would invite them to return again. And then the weekend after that is Easter, the greatest celebration of our year. We celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and we're going to offer hope and make it as clear as day about who Jesus is. It's an amazing opportunity for life change. The question is, will you invite? Would you dare to dream to bring someone along? I shouldn't just be coming to church on Easter. I should be bringing people with me. Because it's the centerpiece of what we celebrate every day as Christ followers. The resurrection of Jesus changes it all. And that's what gives us, ready? Hope. Hope. What if while we're waiting to spend eternity with God, we lived on mission for God? What if that's how we lived because of how we wait? While you wait, use it as a time to develop your faith and to deepen your character and to dream big for what God can do in and through your life. We hate to wait, don't we? I do. But what if it's worth it? What if the pause has a purpose? Remember I said we were delayed all day in the airport? Here's the rest of the story. We were delayed all day with a family of four also traveling back to Cleveland. And we got to know them a little bit on the flight out, and while we were in the airport, we were kind of on this journey together. And I admit, I was cranky because I hate to wait. And so we were kind of getting to know them and hearing a little bit of their story. We would all sigh as every flight was delayed. We were equally frustrated as we got reticketed a number of times. We took the flight, the first flight to Las Vegas together. We sat in the sandstorm together in Las Vegas flying to Cleveland. We finally get on the last leg of this trip. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning Cleveland time. We're tired. We've been waiting all day. My wife was sitting next to me. I'm in the middle seat. And the mom of this family of four is sitting next to me. And she looks at me and says, "So you're a pastor. I have a question for you. Do you believe in signs from God?" I was like, "Whoa, where did this come from?" I was like, "Well, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. How is this going to go?" For the next 2 hours of the flight, I was able to talk with her, to hear her story of a struggle with a heart condition that almost took her life about a year before that. And I was able to share with her hope in Jesus Christ for 2 hours. She couldn't go anywhere but the bathroom. It was great. 2 hours we had this conversation. Let me tell you, wouldn't have happened if we wouldn't have had to wait. God used that pause for a purpose that was blowing my mind. I was frustrated because we weren't making progress where we needed to go. And he was like, would you just sit still? I'm doing something here. Would you please trust me? What if our waiting was on purpose? So somebody could hear about hope. What's your step that you need to take this morning as it relates to waiting? Maybe for some of you in here, it's what we would call the first step. It's making sure that when the final bell on your life rings, that you know for sure, that you are confident that you will step out of this life and into eternity with God based upon what Jesus has done for you on the cross and your trust in that. Listen, if you don't trust that, if you're trusting in anything other than that, when the last bell rings, you're going to be severely disappointed. And the Bible says, not me, the Bible, that you'll spend forever separated with God in a very real place called hell. But that's why God sent his son, because he loves you. And he wants to offer you, while you wait, the chance to secure your eternal destiny. I encourage you, if you have never given your life to Christ, if you have never received his love and forgiveness, do it today. Make that decision. And if you do, you can tell us about it by writing the word Jesus or the name Jesus right at the bottom of this card. It's inside that program you were handed when you walked in. Fill out the top with your name. Just write Jesus down there. You're saying, today is it. This is my first step, a step in the direction of following Christ. I want to be a Christ follower so I can be confident, so I can have hope in something that works, in someone that lasts. And I know many of you have made that decision, and yet still, even though we're confident of where we're going and we're confident when that bell rings of what's going to happen, we still hate to wait, don't we? Where is it that God needs to do a work in you in this season? Is it developing your faith? Do you need to put the word of God into action in your life? Do you need to spend more time in developing prayer? Do you need to take that big risk and step and get into a group? You can write those down, or you can visit our Next Steps kiosks available in the lobby this morning and say, hey, I'm ready to take my next step. While I wait, I want God to use this time. Or maybe you would say, you know what, there's some character issues in me and I just need some help. And in all of our venues, as soon as our service is done, there are people ready to pray with you. So you just make your way to the front and do business with God and make sure that who you are under the surface matches what you do and what other people see. Work on your character. Or dare to dream who God could be using you to bring to him. Who is God drawing to himself that he wants you involved with? Where is it that you can live for eternity while you wait for it? What if waiting is from God? What if the very thing that we hate and get frustrated with is really from him? What if today, as you get ready to leave, as we just stand with all of our arms open wide and just say, God, okay, here I am. I know I gotta wait, but you can have everything while I wait. You are everything while I wait. I'm holding nothing back. It's all yours. I'm waiting for you. What if you waited? What if you waited? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for waiting. God, it's not fun and we hate to wait, but we know you can use it. And so we stand here with our arms open wide, waiting for you to move in our hearts, waiting for you to use our lives. We're willing, we're ready. God, we confess the hate of wait. But today we're going to trust. And we're going to say that waiting is from you. God, we ask right now that in the pause, you would prepare us. And you would prepare us for a possibility that's beyond our imagination. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.